Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Hey, welcome to the Coco Express show for May 24th, Saturday, May 24th, 2014. And it's that time for our amazing, wonderful, dynamic host, Steve Duncanson with Paradigm Shifters, Principles for Life and Success.
Paradigm Shifters. Principles for Life and Success, hosted by motivationalist Steve Duncanson. Start framing your tomorrows today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Paradigm Shifters, Principles for Life and Success. I'm your host, Steve Duncanson, and I am pleased to be able to be here with you. And also want to say good morning to the producer and creator of the show, Aurelia Lyles. Aurelia, how are you?
I'm doing well. And you say good morning for some of us here on the East Coast. It is afternoon.
This is true. We all speak from our own relative position, right? Yes, I am glad to say that I happen to be taking a little bit of a vacacion, something similar to that anyway. I'm attending the San Diego Jazz Festival and out here in California, and I tell you, it's an awesome lineup. You'd love this, Aurelia. Last night we had Brian Culberson, and the main attraction last night was Maxwell. Maxwell last night.
Man.
And check who guess who happened tonight. Wait, guess who happened tonight?
Who?
Uncle Charlie Wilson.
You're
it's going to be the headliner tonight. Well, wait, there's more. Tomorrow night, the headliner?
Uh-huh.
Jill Scott.
That's not a jazz fest. No, that's not a jazz fest. No. Man, they jip us on the East Coast.
So it's tight. And I got, the Love of My Life with us, some six seats all here. I mean, we're really almost like at the stage and stuff like that. So it's pretty tight. But at any rate, I wasn't saying that to try to push that in anybody's face. You know, I got love for everybody. Y'all all right?
It's all good.
Well, and you know what? Having missed last month, I wanted to make sure that, last month with the passing of the mother of a friend, I wanted to make sure that I did not miss this month. I always look forward to the opportunities to share some thoughts with our listeners. And as I say to you guys all the time, I certainly value and appreciate the fact that you invest the time to listen in me for 30 minutes every month, and I want to make sure that I pour into you for that. You know that I'm grateful and continue to lend value today. And Marilyn's not with us today, and she's dealing with some things as well. Marilyn, know that our thoughts, prayers with you and your friends for whatever it is that you're working through. But we'll look forward to you joining us once again next month. Well, for this segment today, I want to talk about a couple of things. Actually, there's a lot to squeeze into the time frame, but we're going to make that happen. In my studies over the past several weeks, I was really being impressed with the power and magic of words. Clearly, the Book of All Wisdom and Knowledge tells us that our words have creative power. And something that we understand intellectually and cognitively, but how often we really take the time to think about how what we say can create an image that can have tremendous impact on a person's life, on our very own lives. And so I was reading about something, and I may be late to the party with this, but I just recently found it out, and since then it has resonated in my thinking. you've heard of that word before, abracadabra, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, were you aware of what that word means, what its origin was, and what it meant?
A long time ago, and I've forgotten it.
Okay, well, see, like I said, I think I'm probably late to the party because I'd never heard it before. But when I, like I said, when I did, it automatically resonated. So the word is of Arabic derivation, and the initial pronunciation in Arabic was Arhabrak, Arhabra, and it means I will create what I speak. And it clearly, once again, it's just an affirmation of the scriptures, but the reality is there is power in words. And so us being careful of what we say to people, what we say to ourselves. This past week, you know, my youngest daughter, you know, I've got twins, Blake and Brooke. The twins now are 16, by the way. Brooke is into track. I don't know where she got that from. Track and field.
I wonder.
Yeah, right. But she's doing the high jump and the pole vault, you know, are two of her field events that she's doing. Anyway, so this year she made district for her school, and it's just pretty good. It's her first year running varsity, and she made districts, and so it's pretty good. So the height that she's looking to jump is not that it's all that well. It's just short of her school record. And anyway, so when she went to the district, there were a whole lot of girls there that she'd seen before who have jumped at higher heights and were faster, all those kind of things like that. So she called me up, and I was on the road at that point, and she said, "Dad, you know, I'm at the districts, and, you know, a lot of these girls here, they can do all these different things." And I said, "Look, you're telling yourself the wrong thing. It's not what they can do. The competition is against you. It's not against them. It's about doing your absolute best." And the words that you say to yourself, the most powerful words you will ever hear are the words you say to yourself. So what are you saying to yourself? And so tell yourself things that affirm what your ability is, affirm what your desires are. Certainly it's not a matter of lying to yourself, right? Because you know when you lie to you. To be able to express the belief in yourself and your abilities based on the practice that you engaged prior to the event. And so she'd been working hard. And I said, remind yourself of what you've done to prepare yourself for this moment. They didn't let you get to the districts just to do you a favor. You earned it. There's something that you did to be able to make that happen. And so the long and short really had to do with what she says to herself and what we say to ourselves, that our words have creative power. I will create what I speak. And so saying the things that we want and affirming our destiny, not simply our present circumstance. The other thought that came to mind, and kind of linking with that, is about the power of a moment. Because there's some things we say in a moment of time, some things we say or do in a moment of time that can really impact our future, our destiny. And I remember reading seeing a Facebook post maybe about a year or so ago, and said that too often we fail to realize the power of a moment until it's gone, until it's passed. And that kind of reminded me about a year or two ago. I went to an amusement park with my twins, and so my son Blake is the adventurous one. Anything that looks like it's crazy is madness, that's what Blake wants to get on. Brooke would rather go reserved. I mean, she'll try a few things, but she'll go a bit more reserved. Anyway, Blake wanted to go on this ride that, I don't remember what it's called, but it's like a slingshot, right, that they strap you to this mechanism, and then it pulls you back high in the air. You ever seen this, Olivia? You know what I'm talking about?
It sounds crazy, but no.
It's bananas, right? They strap you like on your stomach, and then they pull you back, and you're like way high, way back, stories and stories in the air, right? And then when it gets to the highest height, they tell you, all right, pull the ripcord. Anyway, so I saw the thing saying that. I said, my son Blake said he wanted to do it. And he said, Dad, can you come? You do this ride with me? He'd never done it before. He said, will you do this ride with me? And I'm like, you got to be kidding. That's crazy. I'm not going to do it. And I thought to myself, if I said I wasn't going to do it, that he wasn't going to do it. Well, it didn't work out that way. Blake was like, okay, I still want to go. And so he proceeded to strap up and do it by himself. Mm-hmm. And as I saw him, and just before he got on, he said, Dad, you sure you don't want to do it with me? I said, no, Blake, I'm scared. I don't want to do it. Okay, I said it. Yeah, I was scared. So when they started pulling this ride, this mechanism up, it goes higher and higher and higher and higher. As I saw him looking at me as he was going up, he looked afraid, but he looked still excited. I thought to myself, wow, what a moment I just blew to be able to bond with my son on an experience that he will never forget. It was totally exhilarating, challenging, comfort zone, everything that I talk about, he had an opportunity to do. And I blew that moment to do that with him. And as I thought about that one moment, how I never again get it back, my heart started to cry.
Mm.
No, he didn't feel any negative way about it, but I recognize as his father, and I'm divorced, so I'm not with my children every day, though I talk to them almost every day, and they see me all the time. I'm physically not there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And how that was a moment that was lost, but the good thing is that there'll be other moments, you know, and... Anyway, there's a song that I heard by a group called Long Star, Lone Star, Lone Star. And I want you to play the song for us, really, if you would. And I want everyone to listen to the lyrics, listen to the words of the song, embrace the power of the words of the song. Let it create an image. And then think about the concept of one of a moment and embracing the power of it and what can happen if we do that, right? If you just play it, I'm already there. It may not be in your physical presence, but know that I'm already there.
He called her on the road from a lonely cold hotel room just to hear her say I love you one more time. And when he heard the sound of the kids laughing in the background, he had to wipe away a tear from his eye. Little voice came on the phone. He said, Daddy, when you come home. He said the first thing that came to his mind, I'm already there. Take a look around. I'm the sunshine in your hair. I'm the shadow on the ground. I'm the whisper in the wind. I'm your imaginary friend, and I know I'm in your prayer. Oh, I'm already there. She got back on the phone, said, I really miss you, darling. Don't worry about the kids, they'll be alright. Wish I was in your arms, lying right there beside you. But I know that I'll be in your dreams tonight. And I'll gently kiss your lips
touch you with my fingertips. So turn out the light and close your eyes. I'm on.
Every time I hear that song, it really reinforces for me that. And I know that I'm not the only one in a situation. Fathers who, for whatever reasons, the relationship with their children's mom didn't work out. They're no longer there physically. The key is still being there for your kids. Though our children might not fully understand all the dynamics that go around it, we may not even understand. But one thing they'll know is if you're absent, being an absentee father, being an absentee parent, there's no excuse for that. But also the other dynamic of not being, feeling guilty for what has taken place, but know that we can still seize the moment, seize the time, and be there for our kids. And I know this is a little unusual from the normal sessions we do that are upbeat and all this kind of stuff. And I just felt impressed to share what was in my heart regarding this with those of you that have taken the time to listen. It's in those little things. It's not the big things that the kids remember. I'm thinking about my dad, my mom, from my early years, and not the big events that come to mind. It's the times we sat around the table. It's the time that when I'd gone in the hospital, the same time my mom was in the hospital, I had an appendectomy, and my mom had a cyst removed from her leg, and my father was trying to be mom and dad at home. He was working full-time. Losing me in the hospital, losing my mother in the hospital, and I remember him coming to visit me one day, and I didn't really spend very much time with him then. I was busy playing with another friend. But anyway, he stayed for about 15 minutes, and then he walked out and he said goodbye, I'll see you tomorrow. And when he was walking down the hallway, I left the friend that I was with, and I just watched him walk down that hallway. And again, those little moments and things that you remember. So we're creating those all the time. So we're creating moments. We're creating through the power of our words. We're creating through the power of a moment. But we've got to be able to see that moment when it's there. What is it? Seize the day. What is the
carpe diem?
Carpe diem, right? Carpe diem, seize the day. And so we're even breaking that down from a day to a single moment, because that's easy to capture. We have thousands and thousands of moments that pass in a single day. So what do you do with that? And to be able to recognize the recognize in the moment the power of the moment, not when it's gone. But again, seeing it and seizing it, those are two things. Same thing with opportunity. We've heard that aphorism before about that opportunity knocks and recognizing, no, opportunity doesn't knock. It stands by silently waiting to be recognized. And only those that see it and seize it can take advantage of it. And so here we're making analogous to opportunity a moment because it's one that will never be back again. That brings to mind, of course, the, you know, those of us who are athletes, or were athletes. Are you always an athlete in your heart? Is that how it goes, Aurelia?
Aurelia is still an athlete. Thank you.
Right. But anyway, we know that, especially in competitive sports where time is assessed, right, that the difference between first and second can be a moment. Right? It's hundredths of a second, which means that that matters because no one remembers who's second. They remember who's first, right? And so being able to capitalize on that moment is important. So whether it's in the athletic race or in the race of life, to be able to recognize moments when they come. We're almost at the end of our show today. I think we probably got about 4 minutes left or something in that ballpark. And I think we're talking about the power of words and hearing them, images those things create. One song already left with you. I'm already there. I want to leave you with this other one, and maybe I'll come back just before we close out. But Whitney Houston's One Moment in Time. It was from the Olympics, I think in the 90s. And it really became an anthem not only for that series of games, but I think for a time period in life where that was pre-9/11, how things have changed in that moment of time. Hurricane Sandy, things changed in that moment of time, and we experienced many of them day to day. So what I want us to take as we go out on this song, think about the moments that come to you, things that you may not have valued in the past, but being awakened to them right now, and ensure that we seize those moments as they come to us. We've been blessed to have them. So Whitney will leave us with One Moment in Time. Look forward to connecting with you again next month. God bless. Bye-bye. power of that. And I hope that as it was, you were listening to the song, that you closed your eyes and you really embraced what the words were expressing about the moment, the image that it created. Hopefully, as you well know, it created a fire inside of you with regard to as long as you're still alive. It's a key that your purpose is not done. There's still something left for you to do, but it won't happen by itself. It's going to require that you participate in your own rescue. It's going to require that you make decisions that lead to the destiny that you experience in the course of your life. One of the lines in that song that really is encouraging is that you're a winner for a lifetime if you see that one moment in time and think about everyone who we know and recognize as being great. Dr. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, John F. Kennedy. I mean, just these individuals who, when history called, they made a decision in the moment of time that separated them from the pack, that created impact across the universe. And each of us have that opportunity for somebody's universe every day. But it won't just happen. It's going to be up to you. So again, thank you so much for investing the time to be with me this month. I'm looking forward to, once again, being with you next month on Paradigm Shifters, Principles for Life and Success. God bless. We'll talk to you soon.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.